Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, State Senator Chris Brooks. He's all about renewable electricity, here for the whole show from the Bank Saloon on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan. Making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program, after an absence, which is my fault, State Senator Chris Brooks. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And you represent District 3 in Las Vegas. You're part of, or the main part of, pushing this $100 million deal for reducing our energy in terms of fossil fuels. And that's a big part of what I want to talk to you about today. But I would like to start out with a couple other topics real quick. Senator Settlemyer came up with the concept of a tax, which is kind of surprising for a Republican, on electric vehicles, saying that they need to pay their fair share for the upkeep of roads. And that's been a discussion on the program off and on for several years. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think that we need to have a comprehensive conversation about reforming the way that we pay for the highway fund. Right now it's based on gasoline tax, and gasoline tax is declining mainly as a result of engines just becoming more efficient. Right now electric vehicles make up about 2% of all the cars in Nevada, and most of those are in urban areas. 80% of our lane miles that are paid for by the highway fund are rural lane miles. So there's a disconnect there anyway, and so we just need to figure out a way that we are fairly taxing the vehicles that use the roads that are using the roads, where they're using the roads. And I don't think just an arbitrary flat tax on charging stations, which generally are folks who can't afford their own charging station at home, is the best way to go about doing it. But I agree with Senator Settlemyer that we need to reform our taxation system around roads.
Yeah, and the phrase that was used prior to this was vehicle miles taxed, mm-hmm. right? Is that going anywhere at this point?
I don't know if we're going to have the opportunity to do anything with that in this session. There's a prohibition in the Constitution about how we can even spend that money. And so it's any fees that are raised have to go directly to basically asphalt. And we want to try to get less people on the road and more people into public transportation so that they can affordably move around the state.
That, you know, has obviously been a major goal of RTCs across the state. Probably more practical in southern Nevada mm-hmm. than in northern Nevada. How do you change that mindset? Because, for example, where I live, for me to get to the nearest bus stop to be able to go downtown is over a mile walk down a hill, and which means coming home it will be a mile walk up a hill, and we have pretty heavy winters. How do you change that? Do we have to wait until we have a system where, you know, electric vehicles just come to your house and pick you up and take, you know, drop you off?
Well, I think that, you know, that when we think about Nevada, it's really hard, especially, you know, sitting up here in beautiful Carson City in a 150-year-old building. It's really hard to think about Nevada as one of the most urban states in the country, but it really is. So the vast majority of our population lives in two very densely populated clusters in Reno area and Vegas area. And so I think that there, while public transportation, electric vehicles, all kinds of different options we're looking at won't work for all Nevadans, we need to take a look at where we can get the most bang for our buck. And that means public transportation in the urban cores.
One of the things that's interesting about Northern Nevada, obviously, is, which everybody talks about, the diversification that's occurred over the last years. And I mean, it's taken 30 years to get here, so it's not like it happened overnight. But you're seeing the pricing of housing just gone through the roof in Reno Sparks area. It's obvious that you need to start developing housing in places like Fernley, Fallon, because people that were driving 3 hours each direction in the Bay Area that have moved to Nevada, a half an hour ride is not going to be a big deal. Is there any discussion about the state, for example, putting money towards transportation, say between Fernley and Reno, where people go to TRI or come into Reno? They'd be riding on a nice, comfortable bus with Wi-Fi. I think a lot of people would take advantage of that, and then, you know, Uber when they get to their destination.
Well, right now there's a bus line that's going from TRI into Sparks and Reno. Because of so many of the folks that work out there commute. And trying to figure out how, through a fair and balanced taxation system, we can make sure that is being, the cost for that busing is being appropriate or apportioned correctly. That's one of our challenges. And so that's why I really believe that we need a comprehensive modernization of our transportation system in the state, and also the way that we fund it. And that's why we need to have this conversation. I was part of an interim committee that looked at it in this last interim, and the number one takeaway is that the fuel tax from gasoline to pay for just building more roads is a broken system. And we need to figure out what transportation looks like for Nevadans for the next 100 years, and how we're going to pay for that. And I don't think it's going to be based on gasoline taxes for you know, the next 50 years anyway.
And folks in the trucking industry, you know, would look at the federal taxes on gasoline and go, you know, there needs to be a raise in that because the roads are in terrible condition. On the other hand, you now have the potential of an infrastructure bill coming from the federal government. What optimism do you have for that and how it might affect Nevada?
Well, I think that infrastructure, and I'm glad to see this administration's really concentrating on infrastructure, because, you know, investments we made 50 years ago in this country have helped benefit our economy for
now
the last 50
years. You're talking
about
the national highway system.
The highway system, rail, airports. And I think that if we're going to take an infrastructure approach with the federal government, that transportation is certainly where we should concentrate our money.
All right, different topic here, and then we'll take a break and we'll come back and talk more about your potential bill here. That's natural gas. Mm-hmm. Leslie Cohen floated the concept. There's not been a bill yet, but that would essentially get rid of natural gas in the short term in the state. Obviously, Southwest Gas has pushed back hard. And NV Energy, Doug Cannon was on the program, and he pushed back hard on this as well, because there's lots of reasons, but NV Energy, for example, who you think would think, well, gee, if you're going to push everything towards electricity instead of natural gas, power company's going to benefit. But in fact, their power plants, the majority of them, that Senator Reid pushed them towards, are all running on natural gas except for Valmy. So the cost of getting rid of natural gas would be unbelievable. Then the restaurant industry uses natural gas, the building industry that puts natural gas into people's homes, and then the bottom line flat out cost for the individual homeowner, if you got rid of natural gas and everybody had to retrofit for electricity, the costs to the individual families would be horrendous. So what are your thoughts on the concept of natural gas as a potentially clean fuel? Because Southwest Gas said on the program, we want to be part of the solution. We don't want to be part of the problem. Do you foresee that natural gas can become cleaner?
I think that natural gas can certainly become cleaner. We made some efforts towards that in the last legislative session around clean gas. And the industry themselves are working hard towards trying to find a better way to use their infrastructure. But I have not seen Assemblywoman Cohen's bill yet. But from what I understand, it doesn't ban natural gas or even take it away in any applications. It just tells the gas industry, from what I understand, that we as a nation will be using less of that fuel moving forward, and I believe that's the case. And we need to figure out a way to transition, and that needs to be part of their planning processes and integrated resource planning, which I support that concept. But I'll have to wait to see what the bill says. But until we have a solution, an affordable solution for some of the things that natural gas does, I don't know that we're going to be able to get rid of it anytime soon. I do think that we need to provide consumers options, however. I live in an all-electric home, and I choose that. And I think when we're building new homes, we need to think about whether or not we want to have gas in them for the next 50 years. And so I wait to see what that bill looks like, but I do think we need to take a measured and affordable approach to phase out certain applications of natural gas.
The phrase nuclear power has been a scary phrase in the country, let alone here in Nevada, for decades. Is it time for us, as we move forward with clean energy, to rethink this, or do we just need to rebrand nuclear power as something else so that we can utilize it?
Well, nuclear power is a carbon-free source of electricity. The problem with the nuclear power industry in the last several decades has been that it hasn't proved to be affordable. And we're seeing that in the East Coast right now, and places like Illinois and all across the Eastern Seaboard, where they're having to raise rates to subsidize these nuclear power plants that aren't operating affordably, so that they can just keep them open. And there's many reasons why they need to keep them open, jobs and investments and things that they've made in them. But I don't think that we'll see a new nuclear power plant built in the United States in my lifetime. Definitely not with the existing technology that this industry has been using. So we have so many affordable options besides nuclear power. Right now, a wind contract just got signed for 1.5 cents a kilowatt hour. Solar has been contracts have been signed in the state of Nevada for 2 cents a kilowatt hour. That's far less than any other power supply out there, including nuclear power.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with much more with Chris Brooks after this timeout.
Thank you.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino in March. Win your share of the $75,000 Mad Money giveaways now through March 31st. Plus 5x points every Friday.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino in March. Win your share of the $75,000 Mad Money giveaways now through March 31st. Plus 5x points every Friday.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Chris Brooks of District 3. He's heading up a bill that's related to energy, and probably one of the biggest bills, if not the biggest bill, that's going to come through the session. You talked about affordable options. Talk to me about that, because, and let me just lay out the scenario. So NV Energy has got their Greenlink project, which is $2 billion. The discussion of your electrification bill to put in charging stations across the state, $100 million. At some point, even though companies are going to put up the money initially, does that eventually come down to the public to have to pay for that? Over what period of time and what kind of costs are you looking for the individual taxpayer to pick up that tab? Because that is the scary part to me.
Well, absolutely, and that's something we always have to be very, very aware of, is somebody, nothing's free, somebody's paying for that. And so when you look at, for instance, an investment in transmission, that's the life of a transmission line is 50, 60 years. And not only are we as ratepayers in the state of Nevada paying a little bit a year for the next, you know, for the life of that transmission line, others are paying as well. So if you just by building the Greenlink system, for instance, we open up the state to $10 billion of private investment into our state through renewable energy generators who are going to put energy onto those transmission lines, and then new loads who are going to take energy off of those transmission lines. All of those folks who are going to be bringing that investment into the state of Nevada, tens of thousands of jobs, hundreds of millions of dollars of economic value to the state of Nevada, they'll be paying to use those lines as well. So we'll pay a portion of that as ratepayers in the state. But one thing that by building more transmission, what it does is it creates more resiliency in the state so that we don't find ourselves in the situation that Texas just found themselves in, or we don't find ourselves in the situation that California found themselves in 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and even this summer. And by accessing more markets, we can actually access cheaper electricity at times when we need it the most. Right now, we're all just acting as individual little states, and so we don't have a lot of access to other markets when we need their electricity. There's plenty of generation capacity out there. There's plenty of clean generation capacity out there. Sometimes we can't access it when we need it the most. And so by building that transmission, we would be the hub of the whole entire Western Interconnect, which is everything west of the Rockies. All that energy would flow through Nevada, and some of it would come from Nevada. And that's just a huge transformational opportunity for the state of Nevada to be the center of the energy world for the whole Western United States. And all we need to do is just build a few transmission lines. And so the cost benefit will far outweigh the cost that we need to invest in those transmission lines.
Okay, so say in 10 years, when a lot of these lines are built, you don't see the cost going to the ratepayer in any substantial way? I mean, beyond inflation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, and the argument has been for the last, since I've been coming up here for 20 years and since I've been in the legislature for six, the argument has always been, well, if we make this initial investment now, it's gonna raise our rates. We doubled the RPS, rates went down. We embraced clean energy and retired all of the coal in the state of Nevada, rates went down. And so we need to do this in a cost-effective and intelligent way, but we can't wait till we find ourselves in the situation of Texas, for instance, where we're paying exorbitant amounts of money for electricity when we need it to keep the lights on because we don't have enough transmission to access markets. So while we will pay for the infrastructure, like we pay for all the infrastructure in the state of Nevada, the cost benefits will far outweigh the costs to the ratepayers.
Okay, so understandably, and I think it's been explained in many different ways, that we are not similar to Texas. Mm-hmm. Doug Cannon and NV Energy has made a very good effort to let people know that. But at the same time, when we saw what happened last year, where California was suffering and didn't have enough energy, and we were put on alerts, at that point, are we not susceptible to having to pay whatever the market will mm-hmm. bear at that last minute to get the energy we need so our air conditioners are not shut off?
we are, and we did. And that is something that is going to be a more frequent occurrence across the Western United States if we don't have more access to markets. And so when I say more access to markets, when Southern California and the Southwest needed all that energy, there was excess energy in Wyoming. There was excess energy in the Pacific Northwest. We didn't have the transmission to move that energy to the places that needed it. And when we move that energy, we get economic benefits as a state for doing it. And so they pay a fee to be on the transmission lines. So we need storage to help us with those peak issues, and we need transmission to access low-cost, zero-carbon energy markets so that we can become the hub right in the middle of the West. If you looked at a map of transmission on the Western United States, you'll see all this transmission running all around us, and then there's Nevada, which is kind of the hole in the donut. If we just connected the dots to a few transmission lines, all of a sudden that energy, instead of flowing around us, would flow through us.
Berkshire Hathaway, which owns NV Energy, they also own a lot of power in a lot of other states in the West. Are you in conversations with them about what their big picture is?
Absolutely. There's you know, Berkshire Hathaway has their plans, and NV Energy is part of that, has their plans. But then to the west of us, we have the California Independent System Operator, which is an organized market. And then you have all the states around us. They all have their plans. And so just in my energy bill, I'm coordinating with Senator Chris Hansen in Colorado. And some of what we're proposing in our bill is what they're proposing in Colorado.
For example,
entering into a regional market or creating a regional market where we are coordinating with our neighboring states, utility to utility, balancing authority to balancing authority, to make sure that we are getting the absolute best value for the energy we're producing in our state and having access to the markets around us in a regulated and organized way so that we can freely trade energy across the whole Western United States. Right now, we're 10 different little kingdoms when it comes to transmission and energy trading, and we need to tie some of those together so that we can have much lower costs and much more availability for our energy.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with Senator Brooks after this timeout.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Chris Brooks. So your $100 million bill, a lot of it goes towards charging stations, correct?
Correct.
What level of number of charging stations are we going to see? Where are they going to be located? And you got to answer that in 2 minutes.
Well, we're proposing $100 million of direct investment in charging stations across the entire state of Nevada, with 40% of those going towards historically underserved communities. And that would be the lower income, densely populated portions of the state. And with the idea, and then a large portion of it going to the resort corridor, with the idea being that electric vehicles are coming, whether we want them or not, they're coming, and I think that's a great idea. And they are much lower cost of ownership than a gasoline engine vehicle is, and we need to make that that ownership possibility available to all Nevadans, not just those who own their own home and can afford to put a charging station in their garage. And so that's where we want to concentrate that infrastructure, and that's just electrical infrastructure. If we do that, then we can leverage hundreds of millions of dollars of private investment in actual charging stations across the state. But first, we need to build that infrastructure. And I think that it's a chicken and egg issue. If we build that, then I think we will see massive investments in the state of Nevada. But more importantly, we'll make the availability of charging to all Nevadans, not just those who can afford to put it in their garage.
Okay, so you say massive investment. Who would that massive investment come from?
That would come from fleets and the federal government and from private charging companies. There's state charging stations all over the country. But the biggest hurdle is to getting that electricity to their charging station. And that's where the infrastructure investment from the utility needs to be made. And that's what this bill directs them to do.
We're out of time. This is a great conversation. Will you come back soon and let's talk more about it?
Anytime you like.
Okay, thank you. State Senator Chris Brooks, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on television, radio, audio and video, podcasts, and YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast coming to you from Carson City. See you then.